All right, borough clerk's report, please.
Mine is definitely not that long. So I did want to report on the Aldertop lots. The bid closing is December 1st at it's either 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And let's see. So November 24th, the manager had mentioned the possibility of having a special meeting, and I wanted to see what the assembly's tolerance was for that to see if that would work. It's only a few days before Thanksgiving, but I think it's pretty important that we have that. So if it's okay, I'll go ahead and schedule that.
November wins. Yeah.
November 24th.
Assembly.
Is that a Monday, Mason?
Is a Monday. Yeah.
Does that conflict with any school board meeting, which is on Mondays?
Yes. I have a committee that day.
At that time in the evening?
Oh, no, actually, it looks like it's at 3:30. So,
Okay, so
we can double book.
I'll on the school bus too. So
Oh,
it's
that's
triple.
correct. What with 5:30?
Yeah.
Can you make that? Okay, is that all right, Assembly? I hate to put another meeting on you, but
I think it's only for one item, so I don't, or a couple, so it won't. I don't think it would be very long.
we'll tap it.
Okay. Also, we had a successful election. Thank you so much for the workers and the public workers for getting the equipment out, and parks and rec workers, the maintenance crew for getting the equipment put out and picked up. They did a fantastic job. So we had 20% voter turnout. And let's aim for higher next year. Last year's turnout was 28%. Let's see. And then I did want to mention that we will be having the joint school board meeting and assembly meeting on November the 10th. That is a Monday, and that will be held in room 101 at the school. So that's being held at the school. And see, I think other than that, we do have a meeting next Tuesday on the 28th, and then the only meeting we have scheduled, regular assembly meeting. Well, now we're going to have a special, but assembly meeting is going to be on the 13th because the 12th is a holiday, or excuse me, the 11th is a holiday, and the 12th, which will be a Wednesday. And I'll remind you. So, and this is all on my clerk's report.
Thank you. Any questions, Assembly?
Madam Mayor, I think it's kind of lame of us. Thank Dan for joining the fold here.
That I had it on there too to say welcome to
Welcome
Assembly Member Powers.
Member Powers, and congratulations to Assembly Member Block, who's on the line with a pretty
Yep.
decisive victory there. And just appreciate your guys' willingness to serve, and looking forward to working with you guys better with the Cohesive Council. And excited.
And Assembly Member Powell too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Congratulations.
You've been around for a while. That's true.
And I was going to do that during the mayor and assembly business.
Well, you can
But
do it again.
congratulations.
Yes, we're
All
very
right.
happy to have you.
Are we ready? Item 9,
Yes.
mayor and assembly business. All right, this is the point where we reinforce our goals for this first meeting, assembly, and the borough manager has some potential agenda items for future meetings, and you can add to that. But Assembly, I'd like to have you endorse these goals. I ran on them when I first ran for mayor because I thought we needed to hit them hard and heavy, and we have. First goal is to improve, repair, rehab, rebuild our infrastructure. And I think you can see that concentrating on infrastructure is paying off. The second goal was economic development to diversify and support, especially established businesses. And you'll hear me at every assembly meeting to ask the community and the city and schools to support our local businesses and give them your financial support. We also have improved communication. And we are desperately trying to do that. You can get a wealth of information from our website. Our agendas are published. Many times the agendas are 400 to 500 pages long with all kinds of documents And that's a really good way to stay informed. And just coming to meetings is also a good way to stay informed. But our website is constantly being improved. And then quality of life, that's at the top. Preserve and enhance our quality of life in this beautiful borough that we all live in. Do you endorse those goals? All right. Do you, in the past, almost every meeting, I've asked the community to register for NCSL. NCSL is our rapid response alert system, and it can go through your cell phone or email. So that's one way that we communicate just disasters. And then we have other communications through email that the city puts out. I'll constantly remember, remind the public we have land for sale, and we have a mapping system on the website, and check it out. And there's no reason the city and borough should be owning land. It should be in private hands. The other thing I'm going to mention every assembly meeting is my big stress is roads and sidewalks repair. So we are on a roll. We got the equipment for public works, and we'll can promise to continue that.
Right.
And thank you. Right. And then we I'll also remind everyone to support local businesses. So does any assembly member have any other goals? If we stay on that path, I think we'll make headway.
Madam Mayor, I might suggest adding a big number five and have it be education. I know that we've kind of compartmentalized that under economic development, but with the great new administration at the school district, I think that's something that's going to attract families to Wrangell in the long run. And if it's something that we don't handle appropriately, it's something that's going to be a thorn in our side down the road. I know that we're not in great fiscal shape at the school district at this time, but right. Something that we want them to be able to provide many opportunities for our young kids here. And I know that some of them have power since I'm a school board, and I think we've had some member. I just think that we should have that.
I think that's a really good suggestion. Education near and dear to my heart. All right, assembly. We have two suggestions for possible agenda items by the borough manager. Do you want to briefly?
I'm going to very briefly talk about it. I just want to assess your guys' interest, and you guys can tell me if you guys want to move forward and me investigating further, or if you just say scrap it, we'll review it later and definitely not look at it. So there's been a conversation around vacancy tax among the state, but also in Lower 48. The vacancy tax is deployed to either incentivize unutilized properties and putting them on a free market and making them productive, or for those participants that only are here for a certain amount of months out of the year to pay a greater share. Because, for example, if you own a home down in California and you spend 9 months down there and you like to spend the summer up here, well, there's about 9 months of that property not being productive. It's 9 months that there's not people in the house buying utilities, buying sales, debt, buying groceries, all those things. And so the economic impact is far less weighted than if you had a full family in there for 12 months out of the year. So I would think it would be something that would generally be supported by those in the community that are permanent residents. We've looked at, you can't tax residents and non-residents differently. That's something we did look at one point in time. This might be a way to look at it. But again, what really spurred this thought is if you look at our economic condition report, and I kind of hesitate on believing this figure, but 388 vacant units in the borough out of 1,300 units is what's said. I'm going to guess that probably that includes a lot of the derelict homes that have been abandoned and, the ones that are growing trees through it kind of thing. But I do think that there is a high volume of unutilized property here, and it might be something to consider. So are you guys interested in looking at that or no?
I would love
that. Assembly member DeBoard.
I would love that. I mean, I've been complaining about that for years. People here pretty much subsidizing. People are only here for 3 months. So I would love to look into that.
Differential tax. Do I see Everyone nodding. Does everyone understand the vacancy tax?
I do. Is this only for homeowners?
Yes, it would be a property tax.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it could be applied in different, there's different ways to apply it. It could be an annual thing. It could be an excess mill rate, and then you reduce the in-town or something like that. It could be a bunch of different things.
It, and you're correct, it's used in other areas of the country. It increases housing supply, discourages real estate speculation, reduces urban blight, if we have something of that sort. All right, yes, Assemblymember Delbert.
More interested in that part, but I'm a little concerned about this, deciding how many months a year that we would tax somebody higher. Mm-hmm. How are you going to do that? And that part, I would have to learn a lot more about it. The other part, I think, would be really interesting to look at that.
Yeah. Well, read up on vacancy tax. It's all over the board in different areas. I had to do some research. And then item B.
This is a processor utility incentive for increased production, something we've recently, I've been kind of drumming around as a way we can increase our production here in Wrangell for all our processors, whether that means different types of species that they don't currently process, or if that means certain production thresholds. At one point in time, the borough used to have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars of fish tax, predominantly when we were buying a lot of halibut at the sea level plant back in the day when Mr. Phillips was running it. We'd be $650,000 of fish tax. The last few years up till this year, we were sitting in the tens of thousands of dollars in fish tax. We might be, I think we're at 50,000 for 1 year and 75. That's a huge impact to the economy. So yet again, another way we're trying to support the fishing industry here, but also the processors in that way. It's a good thing to process more black cod and halibut here in Wrangell. It's a good thing to have 25 million versus 16 million pounds of salmon here harvest in production. So, you know, pulsing you guys, if there's any, if the assembly has an appetite to offer an incentive utility rate for increased production. And it could be, you know, if you hit 20 million pounds of production of this species, then here's a rebate of half a cent off your kilowatt hour or something like that. It could be structured a number of different ways, but just curious if it's of appetite. And if it's not, then we'll just keep.
What do you think? I did some research on power cost equalization because I thought it sort of resembled that, where you not subsidize the user, but the payment goes directly to the utility. And it was interesting to me that they don't include big commercial and industrial operations like processors. So I couldn't use that as a mechanism. But you have any appetite, any inclination to consider that at a future meeting? I'm all about coming up with new ideas to support our industry, diversify. Assemblymember Dalrymple.
Interest is a lot more.
Okay.
From what I understand, and I mean, I really don't know much about it, but this is quite often used to bring in industry, like especially in the South right now, you know, as they try to industrialized down there. Quite often there's incentives of that. What specifically, I don't know, but they seem to be effective.
Mm-hmm.
And if you could equate that to increased revenue and the fish tax recovery, you know, it'd be a pretty easy comparison to see if that's worth it.
Certainly that's one of the direct benefits, but then we all know that when you have a couple hundred employees in Trident's case, or if you have more processing happening on the shoulder season with a reduced amount of employees, but still being here, they're paying sales tax, they're going to the bars, they're going to the Ranger Heat Set, those types of things. So I think there's a lot of indirect benefits as well.
Another interesting factor is if it would be those processors to modernize too. And they, you know, probably that's pretty successful because they did modernize. Anything that could be incentive to that would be good.
And that may reduce the power demand also. So do I hear consent from the assembly? We'd like to look at that. All right. Okay. Any other assembly business? Any assembly member Powell?
I'd like to thank Lucas Schultz and Charlie Hazel for all their volunteer work out to shooting range, about rebuilding it and targets they supply. And if they get enough thanks for that. So I'd like to thank them for that.
And thank you for doing that, because didn't Todd White help with the ballpark rehab?
Yeah, you know what? I totally spaced his. I had to look down on another note.
Yeah, he
did too. He helped it a lot.
Yeah. That community contribution really helps the city. And I think we're really making some headway on beautifying the city. It looks good. If something needs a coat of paint, we buy a couple of gallons and slap the paint on. It makes all the difference in the world. And we've got to maintain our infrastructure. All right, anything else? Just as an aside, we did have Senator Dan Sullivan come here. He gave a speech to the Alaska Native Brotherhood, Alaska Native Sisterhood, stopped by. We thanked him. He was instrumental in helping us get the RACE grant, $25 million for our Inner Harbor improvements. We took three or four tries at that very, very competitive grant. And he also pledged that he would help us with any kind of regulations. If we get stalled, he'll go to bat for us. So that was a very nice thing. All right, anything else, Assembly? Okay, moving right along. Mayor and Assembly appointments. Item A, annual vice mayor appointment. Do I have a motion?
Move to appoint Assemblymember Powell for vice mayor until October 2026.
Okay. You need a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion by Addison, second by Dalrymple. Any discussion? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assemblymembers Addison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard? You still, yeah. Powers,
yeah.
Mock,
yes.
And Mayor Gilbert,
yes. Thank you for accepting that. And annual board and committee appointments, with the Assembly's approval, there's two available positions with Planning and Zoning Commission. I appoint Terry Henson and April Hutchison. For Parks and Recreation Advisory Board, we have one opening and no applicants, so we'll hold that open. Wrangell Convention and Visitors Bureau, with the Assembly's approval, I'd like to appoint Kimberly Addison and Olivia Strano. And for Economic Development Board, two positions are available. I'd like to appoint Bob Dalrymple and Austin O'Brien. And with the consent of the Assembly, they shall be appointed. Thank you. All right. Public hearing. We have three items under public hearing. 11A on page 92, Assembly. Ordinance number 1090 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the zoning map to effect a change to lot 7A. Of the Mitchell Bueller replat from industrial to rural residential. One. Ask for a administrative report and then open the public hearing.
Bernice, this is the second reading public right. hearing for this item. Industrial development zone to a rural residential zone. Petition was reviewed by the Planning and Zoning Commission. And they approved with a good recommendation to the Assembly.
Thank you for the acknowledgement.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you. All right. And I will open up the public hearing. Is there any testimony on this item?
Right. Reference, Madam Mayor, these are the lots just on the other side of the street of the mill property.
Right. On the other side of the street of the mill property, going from rural residential or industrial to rural residential one. All right. I'm going to close the public hearing and entertain a motion.
Move to approve ordinance number 1090.
Thanks.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Addison. Any discussion? This is the second reading. All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item B, page 100, Assembly. Ordinance number 1091 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the zoning map to effect a change to Lot 6A of the Mitchell-Bueller replat from industrial to rural residential 1. Administrative report on this.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Much the same. The Lot 6A at right adjacent. This is from Mr. Chesna. The exact same zoning change being recommended by planning and zoning.
Thank you. Open up for public testimony. Is there anyone who would like to testify on this item? All right, seeing none, I'll close the public hearing. Motion, please.
Move to approve ordinance number 1091.
Second.
Okay, 9-2. All right, motion by Powell, second by Powers. All right. It's just a typo.
9-1. It should be 9-1.
9-2 is the next one.
Yeah.
Oh, did I move ahead?
No.
Oh, that one's wrong. But anyway, we'll fix that when we get there. Sorry okay. about that.
No problem.
All right. Any other comments, Assembly? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, page 108. This is the one where we need to change the ordinance.
I don't
number. Okay, ordinance number 1092 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the sections of chapter 5.04 property tax to define differential tax zones in the Wrangell Municipal Code. Ask for an administrative report, please.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. During the first reading of this item, Ordinance 1092, we went into great detail on the lack of map descriptions within our actual code for differential tax zones. It had like one or two of the actual blocks within the entire borough. It looked like it hadn't been updated when we even became a borough because we inherited quite a bit of property in that process. So we put all the sections within the differential tax zone code there. We also further clarified different types of differential tax zones, whether that be a full service zone, a qualified service zone, you can just have some extraneous circumstances, maybe a limited service that's provided, and then an out-of-service tax zone, which would be our really remote districts that don't receive any service except for search and rescue and some law enforcement. So this has nothing to do with the mill rate. It very well could be that the Assembly says we want to do a mill rate of 5 for every one of these. I don't think that would happen because it'd probably be a little bit of a mutiny just depending on the service levels. But these are categories that mill rates can be assigned to when we get to that time in budget cycle. So recall that we previously characterized these as in-service and out-of-service. But that was never in our code. We never had in service or out of service in our code. We didn't even have the legal descriptions of the recorder's office in our code. So it's quite shocking, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So this should give us the code that we need, the structure we need to move forward. But again, Mr. Collier's remarks tonight, this has nothing to do with the mill rate. The mill rate would be established at a later date. This just puts it in different buckets. Based on the mapping identified. So hopefully that helps answer the question.
Well, I'm going to get city services. You're going to talk.
Yeah, okay. I'm going to, we're finished with your report.
Yeah, that's fine.
And I'll take public testimony. Mr. Collier, I think we can probably hear you from here. Would you like to go to the podium?
We can hear you.
Pretty short.
Okay.
According to the state assessor, I can't have the same services as you. I pay the same taxes. He says that's a massive tax error. Under Alaska Statute 29.45.105.
Can you repeat that for me, please, real quick?
Alaska Statute 29.45.105.
Okay.
I should get the same service as you. They plow your street, they won't plow mine. I pay the same mill rate as you, and that's what our mill rate as a first-class citizen, is supposed to take care of. The city got $3.85 million to give me equal health care access And you voted for an ambulance for my equal health care actions. So far, that thing has failed to perform its duties. He came out there and he sat there and he went up to Mike Allen's yard and he told him, go back down here, turn in, and go on up. I looked it up, and that's under what they call bum training under the Alaska Fire Code.
Okay.
Why are we paying 12.75 mill rates if we can't get the same service as you?
You're not.
I'm over 12 miles away from a fire station. My tax dollars pay for a fire station.
Mr. Koff says it. Our mill rate is not 12.75. Is it 9.75?
Yeah.
12.75.
No. We reduced it. It's been reduced by 3 mils for the last 3 years. Yeah, I'm real proud of that.
Yeah.
But the problem is...
still, it's the first class. You're still claiming me as a first class citizen.
Right.
So, I mean, that's tax fraud to claim me, but then you get 3.85 million and you don't use it for what it's for. That's tax fraud.
I'll check into that. And the 3.8 million went to what you said? The
well, the last 1.3 million went to a water line. That doesn't do anything for me.
Oh, okay.
You got in three payments. Three teachers decided to charter an airplane and fly to Juneau and get COVID supplies. That was unwarranted travel. You should have been audited on that.
Okay. I understand what you're saying. Now,
I don't know where the rest of the millions went. COVID house or something. And that didn't give me equal health care access. That was to fix bridges and roads so we all had equal health care access.
Okay.
Your garden truck comes all the way out and the city plow comes all the way out to 11 Mile and you plow Green Valley Road and you drive up and down them roads and pick up their garbage. And you tell other people up 400, 500, 600 feet up the road, we'll take your garbage to the highway. You don't have to do that. Everybody in town don't have to do that.
Yeah.
Well, you're not on a street.
Oh, thanks.
Well, thank you, Mr. Collier. I will look up this statute that you cited here. Thank you.
Well,
and we.
I think Mr. Bynum took it up with Bill Armour here.
Uh huh.
But Bynum wouldn't come back and tell me anything.
All right, let's do that. Is there any other testimony on this item? All right, I'm going to close the public hearing and I need a motion on the table.
Approve ordinance number 1092.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Otteson. Borough Manager, do you have any information to supply for us?
Just a quick response. The funding that was being referenced there is the CARES Act and ARPA funding. We did get audited on all that. We passed our audits on all that. Due to the inquiry, there was an inquiry made by Mr. Collier that we did address with the Department of Treasury. Actually took a look again at the audit due to the claims. There were a lot of claims that were incorrect in what we've actually purchased. And like the school thing, that has nothing to do with the city. And there were certain, like, you know, there's certain things like Tesla's plumbing that was purchased during that you guys probably recall, and certain fire and EMS equipment that was procured during that time frame. But again, I wasn't here by the time that it had all been procured, but I do know that that's been audited and I reviewed and took part of that inquiry and had proven with no merit. So that's probably why Mr. Bynum never responded, because there's nothing to say.
And I happen to be, just to add on to your information, I was on the school board when that incident happened that you were referring to, and there was an audit conducted after that.
Well, a piss poor one, then.
It was a factual audit, but you're correct.
I'd like to see a copy of that audit.
The person with the public.
I don't know where 3.85 million went. I know 1.3 million went.
Thank you.
But that had nothing to do with fixing roads.
Okay, that's Mr. Collier, thank you for your comment.
That's what it was intended for. One for water lines.
Any discussion on this item?
Oh, maybe next time have roll call. I think there's an illegal meeting.
We did roll call. Thank you.
Please.
Yes, we did.
Who was here?
We did roll call. Thank you.
Okay. Any discussion on this item? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members, DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 12A under unfinished business, resolution number 10-25-1988 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the conveyance of public land for lots 12 and 13, block 12A, to Brett Woodbury, doing business as BW Enterprises.
Move to approve resolution number 10-25-1988.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. And so we're going to fly through some of these. This is generally a housekeeping item. We did authorize or approve the purchase and sale agreement in a previous meeting for this. We should have probably brought the conveyance of the two lots as we run those typically concurrently. But this is the conveyance of the two lots and just more of a formality.
All right.
And this again got us the Reed Street parking lot expansion.
The Reed Street parking lot, which has been on our list for how many years?
30.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm so happy to get this over the line. Any comments or questions on this? Have you all had the chance to look at the progress?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remarkable. All right, poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Powers? Ma?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Under 13A, new business, resolutions on page 130, Assembly, resolution number 10-25-1984, a resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing several amendments to non-union job descriptions and amending the non-union wage and grade table for the police department and providing for an effective date.
Move to approve resolution number 10-25-1984.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Powers.
Okay, thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to try to summarize this into a fairly simple item. There's been some noticeable disparities in some of our lower level members of the police department, which includes dispatch and corrections. We're actually the lowest in the whole salary survey among municipalities for dispatch and corrections by a couple dollars. So we want to at least get up to at least the lower mid competitive range for dispatchers. And recall the previous conversation I had with the Cops for Hire grant, which is we've reduced our police force. And that was something that the chief and I had come to do an agreement on. We've obviously saved money in doing that through attrition. And we have a really quality group of professionals in our police force right now. But we don't want to take advantage of that either. So we do want to compensate them. This overall increase is $2 for dispatch corrections, $2 for the police sergeant, $2 for police officers across the board. The overall impact is about $45,000 to $55,000, a little bit of a margin for wage differential because I can't tell you exactly the volume of OT and those types of things over the year. We did miss the dispatch or the correction sergeant in here, which is the lead up of the corrections, and I can't amend it because it will require a job description on here. So I will promise to bring that back next Tuesday. So no amendment needed. The weird thing with all this, but a positive, is that we've been obviously planning to get the Cops for Hire grant. So we were going to maintain the same police force down to officers and try to sustain ourselves that way. But the next thing is we have a 75% funded position for the next 3 years. So we're going to go ahead and hire that. That's what we're advertising for now. We have the budget to do that currently. But again, bringing ourselves up to market for the police officers, this is something I pledged to work with Chief Meek on. And again, there's been an increased cost savings for not having those positions for attrition. The average cost of a police officer in the borough at this last budget cycle was $120,000 when you include fully burdened wages and benefits. And so $120,000 for two employees, that's $240,000 in savings. I think it's the right thing to do to have a modest wage increase that gets us up the market and retain a competent staff. So.
And I had the opportunity to talk with Chief Mix over the weekend. We have a working 24-hour on-duty police chief. He just happened to mention as an aside that he went on three calls in the middle of the night. You know, why he responded to one call he had another and another. So he always backs up his officers. And he's doing a lot of cross-training of employees, which is a benefit to the borough. The one question I was worried about, though,
sure. You
suggest removing the lieutenant position.
Correct.
What about our PERS obligation? Shouldn't we keep that open? No, they're not under PERS, are they? But is there a...
They are under PERS. But recall, we've talked about this before, and it is if you eliminate a whole department, then there's PERS implications, not a specific position in a department.
I was always taught the position.
Yeah, not the position.
It's the whole department.
The whole department. So if we said,
won't worry about that either.
We're going to eliminate, Parks and Rec, then we have a problem, right? We can't do that without PERS implications, which we're not, don't take that run with that. We're not doing that. No.
Oh, you were? Okay, that's all right. We're thinking alike. It's good.
Again, kind of a weird presentation because some of these include a grade increase. So there's not $2 added to the existing grade. They're actually jumping up two grades in some cases, one. And then the actual police officer position will be maintained in the same grade, but added $2. So the net impact for each position here is $2 at the starting scale.
Okay. What questions, Assembly? Any questions or comments, Assembly Member Dalrymple?
This is just for my own information, but I'm a little confused on how these incremental little changes in salary fit back into the union.
They're not union.
So they're not? That got established the last one? Okay.
Yeah, they chose not to unionize.
If it was union, would we, union position, would it? I just wonder, we're doing this outside there.
I would know if it was a union position, we would involve the union.
Yeah, and to just for informational purposes, Assembly Member Dalrymple, if we did increase a union position, which is possible, we could do that, just depending on job duties or something like that. We would just sign a letter of agreement with the union and amend the collective bargaining agreement. And you're going to actually see an example of that hopefully next Tuesday as it relates to a job description, because we even have to have an agreement just for amending the union job description.
Gotcha. Thank you.
So.
But we don't open up the whole contract. Yeah. Is that and during our last negotiations we did even up employees quite a bit,
right?
Because we were deficient in terms of the salaries we were offering.
Does it evolve since then?
This has evolved since then. I think that we missed it. I think, but also we've had a change in the volume, the quantity of personnel that we've had in that department. Traditionally, we've had 7,
right.
And we've had 5. So. And then also one thing to answer your question, there was a movement at one point in time to unionize the police department that was eventually voted down, I guess, between that pool. And we don't have a First Nations clause, and that's often embedded in certain union agreements across the country. It means that like we did something on the non-union side, we have to do it for the union. We don't have anything like that. We found too. So
Assembly Member Powerson.
When the grant runs out. Then what, just reassess, reevaluate?
Likely reevaluate, but I think it's poor planning to hire somebody and plan to
hire them in 3 years.
Hire them in 3 years, right? But I think that given the current state of affairs and where we're at with our current budget and the fact that we're down 2 personnel, we're still in a net positive savings overall, even 40, 45, 50 grand, we're still saving that $120,000 salary.
So it's a win-win.
Plan to keep it online, and that this position will have a school resource officer focus. Yeah. Thanks for that. That's a good question.
And when we hired, when you hired Chief Meek, one of the things I asked him was to be more involved with the schools, and he's done an excellent job. We sure got a stellar chief. Any other comments or questions? All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Ma?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Page 142, item B, resolution number 10-25-1986 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget in the general fund by accepting grant funds in the amount of $150,000 through Wrangell Cooperative Association from the Institute of Museum and Library Services for a Native American Library Services Enhancement Grant, appropriating these funds to the library budget and authorizing their expenditure over a 2-year period to enhance library programming.
Move to approve resolution number 10-25-1986.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by Dalrymple. We've had a little bit of a knowledge on this, so very proud to get this grant.
Yeah, it's just amazing. $150,000 for the Irene Engel Library and having a coordinator position. It's amazing. So thanks again to Sarah. Just a formal grant acceptance here, and then we'll let her speak to the next item, which is related.
Right. And this will be tutoring for our schools, school students. Excellent. Affiliation with this.
And much more.
And much more. Yeah. yeah, I heard of some of the new ideas. I'm excited. All right. Any other comments or questions, Assembly? All right. Poll vote, please.
Yes. Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoer?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item C, page 146, resolution number 10-25-1987 of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, providing the addition of the library programming coordinator and amending the non-union wage and grade table for the library programming coordinator and providing for an effective date.
Move to approve resolution number 10-25-1987.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoer.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'm going to defer to Director Scambler on this one and let her explain the position a little bit more.
Yeah, so if you look at the structure of a lot of modern libraries, they have a programming specialist, a librarian whose sole job it is to provide programming and all that comes with that. The research and development, reaching out to the community, finding volunteers, gathering supplies and materials, and then actually implementing the program. And in fact, larger libraries would have like an adult services program or librarian, and then children's services librarian. Obviously, we don't need that here, but this would essentially create a position to help the current staff, myself, and our library assistant in implementing new programming and current programming as well. We're kind of we need a little bit deeper of a bench to keep going at the way we're going, because it's a little thin right now, and we want to provide the best things that we can for the community. And I'm really excited that this will give us the opportunity to try a position like this out for 2 years and see what it looks like for our community and how valuable it can be.
Thank you. I'm excited. Any comments or questions? Assembly member Powell?
How many people do we have at the library right now?
We got some part-time staff, but
yeah. So right now we have somebody who's on maternity leave. So we have two full-time staff, myself and Caitlin Wilson. And then we have two fill-in. I'm trying to hire a third fill-in person, but it's like 5 hours a week each. And those are really hard positions to keep filled because you're kind of asking a lot of people. So we used to have the three positions at the library, and then the third position wasn't filled after COVID, which is understandable. But now that we're doing so much more, it really puts a strain on the staff to continue at the level we're going.
So the reason why I questioned that was I was wondering if you had somebody that was only working 20 or 21 hours a week right now. Mm-hmm. And
two full-time staff, and this will actually be a part-time position. That's all that was available for the funding, was 21 hours a week. So we'll just do as much as we possibly can with that.
Okay.
And I think there was a time where there was reduced hours, but I think you're calling correctly.
Yeah, we used to have one 40-hour position, which is the director, and then a 30-hour position and a 21-hour position, but kind of as moved on, we've moved away from part-time positions in the city. So now we have the two full-time positions.
That's why I questioned that. If we still have a part-time person that we could make full-time,
with the issue of going on with this.
Senator Powell is just trying to make sure I follow through on that.
That's exactly what I'm trying to make follow through with.
I would advocate for that as well. We could definitely use the hours, but we just have the two full time at the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. We gave those that direction to borough manager. We had employees working as little as 30, 20 hours with full-time benefits, and it was just,
I understand,
didn't pencil out. Yeah,
we don't have one in the entire borough at this point. So,
all right. Any other questions? Poll vote, please.
Yes, Assembly Members Dalrymple.
Yes.
Powell.
Yes.
DeBoard.
Yes.
Powers.
Yes.
Mock.
Yes.
Audison.
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert.
Yes. Item D. For resolution number 10-25-1991 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending the FY 2026 budget by accepting a grant in the amount of $300,000 from the Denali Commission for the Aldertop Subdivision Phase 1 Roadway and Utilities Project.
Move to approve resolution number 10-25-1991.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard. We have Amber to thank for this. And you?
Yeah, no, not me. Thank you, Madam Mayor. But it's pretty remarkable. I got Director Scambler, Chief Meek, then the Roxbury, Amber Aladad, bringing another $300,000 for the Aldertop projects. This is just acceptance of the grant. I think there was some speculation at a certain point if we were to get this, and we got further clarity that we do, in fact, meet the requirements for us. So we'll have $300,000 additional for the Aldertop Subdivision project. So thank you to Amber for getting us across the line. A lot of work, a lot of conversations with the Dalley Commission and SHPO and the Corps. And it was pretty complicated there for some time. So
yeah,
that's
I've seen her work magic and helped her one time box up her grant application for $600,000 and, you know, documents that thick. And I think you had to have eight of them for the committee. So it was eye-opening for me how much work goes into obtaining these grants. But I sure like to say accepting a grant. Any questions or comments, Assembly? Okay, poll vote, please.
Assembly Members Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item E, page 164, resolution number 10-25-1992 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the borough to issue water revenue bonds to finance improvements to the water treatment plant, namely fixing certain details of such bonds and authorizing their sale.
Move to approve resolution number 10-25-1992.
Thank you.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Amber, do you want to comment on this one, the water bonds, USDA bonds? Been waiting super patiently, so my voice is kind of going.
So the issuance of the revenue bonds are what is required to secure USDA loan for the water treatment. $5.7 million over the course of two loans. That's why you have a resolution A and a resolution B, one for each of those loans. So USDA for a public utility loan, they require securing that loan through an instrument, which is the revenue bond. And that's what is our commitment to them, to say we will provide those payments it's basically then committing from the revenues of that utility. So that's what this is all about.
It's nothing new. It's anticipated.
You all should have anticipated when you accepted the loans for the project, as we described at that time. So this really just identifies how the loans, how the bonds will work. You are authorizing the issuance of those bonds to then close out the USDA loan. Once that's closed out through payment of the bonds, we'll get the cash from that, which in essence is not going to come to us because we had the interim loan from the MRF loan, which served as our interim loan for these two loans. So we'll take that money as soon as we receive it and pay back the SRF loan. And we will have, we had a small fee. It was just a processing fee for that loan.
Half a percent.
Yeah, turned out to be $25,000. But had we had to accept a commercial loan for the interim loan for that project, we, you know, when it was a $10 million project, we anticipated it would be about $175,000 for the cost of that interim loan. So at a $20 million project, you know, it had been close to $500,000. So $25,000 is dropped in the budget. So that's what you are moving now is the issuance of those bonds to close out the USDA loans.
And yet again, Amber was really creative on this with the interim financing for the water treatment plant. I know that she worked with Robert Chambers, USDA, that's kind of the solution that's been deployed, I don't think, very frequently. So they did actually up our interim financing through the drinking water loan program to match the USDA chance loan that we took on. So again, really creative way to get what we wanted.
We remember those days, and when you mentioned the $9 million or $10 million original price came, and had we acted then, you know, who knows turned out. But that's why I don't want to hesitate and keep talking about infrastructure. Nothing is getting better; it's all deteriorating. Mm-hmm.
So if I could take this as an opportunity to encourage just the train of thought that we have to, typically it costs us money to get money. And so we need to remember that as we're looking at going after these grants, always a cost of that, whether it's a match or it's readying ourselves to submit that grant application, such as the BERs that are coming up. We will be,
Oh, that's good. For the public, tell them what PER is.
PER is the preliminary engineering report. And so Mason mentioned it earlier. So just a little bit more information for you all as we come into the next meeting. You will see a budget amendment requesting the funds to issue those contracts. If assuming we're going to get someone who wants to work with us in the accelerated time frame that we have to get that grant in place. But the EDA grant, this $20 to $50 million grant opportunity that we have, to be eligible to apply, you must have performed already a preliminary engineering report on each of your projects. We have three projects that we are going to submit on. So we have to do a preliminary engineering report on each of those individually. So Mason's asked me, what do you think those are going to cost? It's hard to say. We haven't done one since we did the water plant project. We did a PER effort because EDA required that, and also USDA requires PERs on your projects to move forward with funding application. I think we'll probably be looking at anywhere from $50,000 to $75,000 each. I think the water flume will be a little bit lower effort. But the two port projects that we proposed, they're significant, and I think that the effort will be larger on those. I just want to say, you know, keep that in mind for all of the things that we go after, but this one will be the first one that's coming up.
And said differently, that's taking about a $225,000 risk for a $45 million grant.
Right. And
the grant's going to have a match, and it's a crazy amount of administrative time, and, you know.
We did the same thing for the water treatment plant, right?
We did.
That's what I thought.
We did. And for public safety building.
For the public safety building, that one was called a PAR, Preliminary Architectural Report.
I know. But yeah. PAR.
Yeah. And if not through these you know, investigative reports, I'm just going to call them as a generic term, you know, we really position ourselves better to be competitive for these grants if we have done some upfront work. You know, for the EDA one, you know, what we're going to get from that will be costs, you know, vetted costs from the engineer's assessment, really a deep dive into the conceptual design. We'll have graphics, we'll have maps, we'll have, you know, conceptual, all of that. And these funders who are looking at your projects, the more you show you've done the work, and you have that level of submittals to include with your grant application, the better off you are. So just my little plug in, you know, making to, you know, if ever we have a project that's been on the list forever, we've done nothing with it,
you know, I'm always encouraging us to like move forward with some level of initial design or design in general. That really goes a long way with these.
Well, and that gives us some answers the public is wanting. You know, they want to know what we're thinking, what we're trying to design. And so that goes a long way to answer the public's questions. The other, while I've got you, I'm going to take an exception here, a privilege. Mm-hmm. With our water situation, some of the public have asked me about the quality of water. They have maybe brownish, brackish water coming through their pipes. There's three main elements to our water system. One is the flume that we're going to address, and that's the water coming into the plant. Then there's the treatment of the water in the plant. But then goes into the plant. Yeah, okay. I stand corrected. And then the troublesome one, the one that assembly, get ready, is that distribution. Our pipes are greatly degraded. You were going to bring in the pipe from McKinnon Street.
That was a sewer line. That was a sewer pipe.
Well, I don't want the sewer line. But the water pipe is pretty bad, too, because I've seen the patches.
Yeah, you know, really our infrastructure, our water infrastructure has many needs from the flume to the tap. Or at least to the service line that the borough is responsible for, the municipal system. You know, it's not only the flume that feeds our reservoirs. The flume captures a couple of creeks on one side of the upper reservoir. So it's important just to capture a little bit more water that we might miss. And because of the deterioration of that flume, we're actually missing some of it, which is why it's one of our priority projects now to repair that. The reservoirs are surface water fed too, so they're always gathering water. That's the majority of water that comes into them, rainwater and then surface water. So from the flume through the reservoirs to the treatment plant, and then you've got the distribution system.
To briefly answer your question though regarding community sentiments around water quality.
Right.
We did just have the best quarter of water quality in the last 10 years with the new treatment plant. However, there has been cases of isolated brownish water in homes.
Yes.
And that is likely related to the difference in chemical composition and the film that's built up in the distribution lines, and that coming off with a change in the type of polymers and chemicals we're using to treat the water. So, you know, the coagulant, different coagulants than we've ever used before. So it's having a chemistry impact on the water lines and likely taking that organic material off the lines or that film. And that's what households are seeing. So we believe we've corrected it. So, but if you do have any concerns, you can call Foley, take a sample, and then we'll further report and investigate.
Okay, great. And then we have the bonus problem is wastewater secondary treatment. So that's another hurdle that this assembly is going to have to face head on. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Amber.
All right. I diverted a little bit, assembly. Any questions or comments?
Thanks, Jake.
Thank you.
Thanks for staying.
Great. I just have to get people off the clock. So
okay.
My thoughts are a little high right now.
Thanks. For staying.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, poll vote, please.
Assembly members DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Page 186, item F, resolution number 10-25-1993 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, adopting the Southeast Conference Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy as the Regional Economic Development Plan, and recognizing the Borough Assembly's local priorities of economic development, infrastructure, and maintenance, quality of life, and communications.
Move to approve resolution number 10-5-1993.
Second.
Okay, motion by Powell, second by DeBoard.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Kind of a housekeeping item. This is a requirement that we have the community comprehensive economic development strategy for the EDA disaster supplemental grant. That's why we're doing it now. We probably should do it anyway. I would suggest an amendment to section 2 of this resolution that adds education like the assembly just talked about. So very timely that you had that conversation. We didn't expect that to happen.
Yes. And do you want it in section 2? I highlighted the goals in section R. No, that wasn't it. Okay, where do you want our education component to go?
It just says in section 2, local priorities and priority firms. It's continued focus on local priorities, economic development, infrastructure and maintenance, quality of life, and communications is central to the community economic development efforts. So you could throw education in there while we're
after quality of life.
Okay. Does the assembly approve that recommendation? All right. So be it. Please have that. All right. Any other comments or questions? All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item G, and this is the one that Assemblymember Mock sits out on, approval of second lease extension to Trident Seafoods for a portion of the old mill dock, page 190.
Move to approve the second lease modification to Trident Seafoods for a portion of the old mill dock.
Second.
Okay, so motion by Powell, second by Powers.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. This is, again, the same lease agreement that we've had with Trident Seafoods for the last few years. This is a two-year extension, and Board Commission approved to recommend this on October 2nd to the Assembly. Nothing different here, and we got a lot of old mill docks, but just to clarify, this is the one that's most adjacent to their plant. They split it in half, and the other processor in the vicinity splits that with them down there.
Any comments or questions on this item? Assemblymember Powell.
So on this, so you're telling me that the other plant leases the other part of the dock?
That is my understanding. That the borough clerk could probably...
What's that?
Confirm. Did we lease the other half of the dock to Phillips?
Oh, Phillips.
Too, yeah.
We do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep, I can look it up in...
So my question is there, I'm not going to say on this one is differently, but isn't there public access still to that waste dock there?
There is, yeah.
Okay, that's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
And it's not part of this lease?
No, not right, yeah.
It's mill dock. Mill dock, too, is yeah. What. Mm-hmm.
All right. Any other comments or questions?
We won't try it just to buy it, but we'll work on that later. I know we can't talk, so I'm just teasing them.
Yeah. All right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Audison?
Yes.
Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. Item 15 A is on page 196, executive session with discussion on the update of the potential land exchange with the city and borough of Wrangell.
I move pursuant to AS 44.62.310C1 that we recess in the executive session to discuss matters of immediate knowledge of which would clarify clearly have an adverse effect on the finances of the borough and to specifically discuss the borough manager updates the potential land exchange with the city and borough of Wrangell.
Thanks.
Okay. Motion by Powell, second by Powers. Any discussion? Right. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members, Dalrymple?
Yes.
Powell?
Yes.
DeBoard?
Yes.
Powers?
Yes.
Mock?
Yes.
Audison?
Yes.
And Mayor Gilbert?
Yes. It's 9:05. We're going to recess into executive session. Give you, Assembly, 5 minutes. Mm-hmm.